here we are. I trust that you will remain comfortable. And I would like to go this morning to our next message in our Easter series. Remember that we started speaking about Jesus' life. Today we want to speak about death, and then Jesus' death, and then of course next week, resurrection, right? So life, death, and resurrection. And of course, these are for us the very heart of what it is that we believe and what we know to be true, and the very heart of those things that touch and so powerfully affect our lives. And so we want to continue in that this morning, now asking and trying to answer the question what it means to have a share in Jesus' death. What it meant to share, what it means to share in Jesus' death. As last week we spoke about how it is that we share in the fullness of his life. And so I'd like to read Galatians 2:20, our scripture verse this morning, and just to notice some things as he talks about Jesus' death. He says, this is Paul speaking as he is writing this, and you know, just as an aside here, whenever we read the Bible, that we have to see that he is speaking, God is speaking to me. We don't ever overlook that he spoke to particular people at a particular time, and that forms a context. It really did happen that way, and the words take on a particular meaning because of that. At the same time, these are words that are speaking to me. God has something to say to me. And so this is what he has to say this morning. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The last part of that verse I look at as the particularity of God's love. That when, you know, it's like, you know, the politicians, and I won't mention any names, when they stand up and they're at their different venues and they speak to the people, and one in particular is always saying, oh, I love you, right? How I love, you know, Arizona, and I love all you people here now. And it's like, really? 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 God never says that without saying at the same time, I love you in particular. So he says, for God so loved the what? World, that he gave his only son. And so there it is, this sense of the enormous universality, if you will, of God's embrace. And he's big enough to do that to the whole world. And yet, it cannot stop there, because love is not love in any general sort of way until it says what? As it says here in this passage, I'm just speaking what the passage says. As it says here in this passage, who loved who? Who loved me. You see it there? Who loved me and gave himself for what? For me. Yes, he died. He loved the world and he died for the world. But it's me. I'm really in there. And so we feel that enormity of his love. And then to draw our attention to the words that it's using here. When we come to this time of the year, and rightly so, you know, we speak of, and we don't follow hard and fast, you know, that kind of the religious steps of Holy Week, because we live in the holy awareness constantly that our God is alive. He has risen from the dead. He's no longer on the cross. But yet, of course, we draw attention there, and as we are doing today. But in particular, notice what he says in this passage. He uses the word that we use when we refer to Jesus' death on the cross, that he was what? Crucified. That he was crucified. And we understand something of that crucifixion. Many of us have actually seen pictures of it. We, you know, in one way, one form or another, we understand it to be that it was, you know, the form of Roman law that was their death penalty way of execution. And it was a horrendous form of execution. And so many of the implications of it that killed Jesus. That killed him. And we know that he could not stay dead. It was impossible for him to stay dead because God raised him from the dead. And that same terminology is used here. And I want to draw our attention to how it is that we share in Jesus' death. Did you ever think about it in those terms? He's drawn our attention to it here. Our attention to sharing in his death, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. And Paul's using himself to speak in general terms of every believer can say the same thing. I have been crucified with Christ. Let's pray together. And so, Father, as we look into your word this morning, I'm asking, Lord, that as I ask so often, that in my voice, yours would be heard. Not that my voice is the voice of God. It's your voice heard in mine, Lord. Let it be so in this place this morning. And that, God, that such an awareness would overcome us of your great salvation as we celebrate it this week and beyond would overtake us. And, God, that that our lives would be transformed, that we'd be strengthened, that we would have a sense about us as your people being nurtured, being fed here in this place this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. So here we are. I want to look at this, and will you just, I just want to read, as is my custom, a couple of other scripture verses, okay? And they're all from Galatians. Todd will use his magic fingers back there and put them up on the screen behind us. And I would recommend that you look in your device or your Bibles. It's always good to have a Bible with you no matter what. But anyways, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, notice what he says in his opening comments to us. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that just sound good? Grace and peace. That's good stuff. And then he says, look at verse 4. Who gave himself for our what? Sins to rescue us. What a tremendous word. Rescue us. So we think about God's salvation. We think about our sins. He's rescued us. Jesus has rescued me. And as much as someone may be out in the surf and they suck in a little bit too much water, they get caught in a riptide, whatever, and down they go. The lifeguard is alerted to a possible drowning, off goes the lifeguard, you know, see how they run off the chair, you know, grab whatever it is they grab into the water. They're so strong and swift, right? And they rescue the drowning swimmer, bring him to shore. And that's what Jesus has done for each one of us. And it says that the rescue, he's rescued us from this present evil age or the culture in which we live. So much jam-packed into that. Let's look at chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 4. And this is probably one that maybe you don't look at that much, but it does come into play as we're speaking about this morning how it is that you and I share in Christ's death. Did you ever think about it in those terms before? I'm going to help you this morning. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. That's a sharing in his death. And here again, he speaks of it in chapter 6. Are you with me this morning? Oh, man. I'm a little stiff here. He says, in verse 14, he says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if I'm going to be proud about anything, he said, what I'm proud of is what Jesus has done for me. And so it's grace, folks. You know, it's grace. It's not my good looks. It's not my great talent. It's not my great strength. It's grace, right? Have you ever thought of yourself as a mess? One time or another, right? And I would say that's a good feeling to have, that you're a mess. It really is. It's a good feeling to have. And have you ever looked at that mess and considered the mistakes that you have made that led up to the mess? And I would say feeling the weight of those mistakes is also a good thing. It really is. However far back you look into your life to see the mistakes, to this morning, the mistakes. Because in knowing that about ourselves, it makes us candidates for the miracle that God performs in our lives by grace. He's after people who are in big messes, who feel as though their mistakes are a noose around their necks with a stranglehold that they can't get out of. He says, I'll do a miracle in your life. I'll do a miracle in your life. And that miracle comes to us by grace. Paul says, if I'm going to be excited about anything, it's going to be excited about that. That's what he means. Because it's in that cross that we find the miracle that Jesus has performed for us. It's a powerful thing. A powerful thing. And he says, he goes on to say, are you with me in this? He says, except in the cross, through which, notice, through which, that is the cross of Jesus, which the world, here it is again, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. A death has taken place in me, and a death has been taken place, a death sentence has been pronounced upon the world as well, upon the culture as well. Powerful. Now here's a scripture verse you probably know about. Last one I'll read in Galatians before we work through this. And I continue to fulfill just how good and how that this old dog can learn new tricks and get done in 20 minutes. Chapter 5. My time hasn't started yet until I start preaching. This is just reading the scripture. See, thank you, Angel, for that nod of agreement there. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm going to have a cookie. No. Oh, boy. I don't know if I can continue now. All right. So, here's a passage in chapter 5 that we're all aware of. We talk about it from, where he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit of God produces in our lives, okay? And this is what God is after. When we talk about Jesus being in our lives, what we mean is that God, who is Spirit, has now taken up residence by His Spirit within me. That's how I was made. I was made to be a house, if you will, to house God. I have been made in the image of God. I relate to God, who is Spirit. He's there by His Spirit. And what God is after is what? Love, joy, peace. See, we stop there, don't we? Because we don't like the other ones. You know, love, joy, peace. I mean, come on. You know, it's like, I'll take that. Oh, you got them up there? No? It's, Galatians 5:22. And you knew where I was going, yes. But we don't, it's like, you know, see, the word is in NIV is patience. Really better is long suffering. I mean, who wants to go any further than love, joy, peace? It's like long suffering. It's like that stops me right there. And so, but this is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And but the point that the thing that I want to draw our attention to is that the road to getting there is by crucifixion. Because he says here, look at verse 24 now. Is that the verse you had up earlier? Verse 24? No? Oh, okay. Verse 24. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. You see it there? Crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Now you say, well, what does that mean? Well, if you look up further at verse 19, it tells us what those acts of the sinful nature, first day with my new lips, sinful nature are. And he lists them there. Now, I don't want to draw your attention to that as much as I want to stay put here with this, thank you, for the how it is that you and I share in Christ's death. So it includes this whole dimension of how it is that by nature I sin. Is it an amazing thing that we do not have to teach our kids how to lie? Is it amazing? But rather we have to what? Teach them how to tell the truth, right? Is it an amazing thing that we don't have to teach our kids, be nice? We have to teach them, right? We don't have to teach them how to be unkind, right? Have you ever thought about it? But we have to teach them the opposite way. Because by nature, it proves that what? That sin has corrupted us to the core. This goes back to Eve. And so, wow. So we're there, right? So, how it is. Now, let's try to just look at this real quick, okay? Will you please stay with me in this? Really trust that, as we're here this morning in God's presence, that something is added to our lives in a forceful way. So, not only do we participate, maybe another word we could use, in Jesus' life, but we also share in his death. And we spoke about participating in Jesus' life somewhat last week. And we spoke about it from this angle. And I just want to underline it again to really drive this point home. And that is to say, by his life, and where do we find the life of Jesus? Four places. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we're not only do we see his life as it's lived there, and not only by what we see there, are we given giving by his life a model life. So that we see how Jesus carried himself. We see how it was that Jesus responded, didn't respond. How if there's anyone that was moved with compassion, lived his life with compassion, it was Jesus, hands down. So we have in him a model person, right? And that's the idea behind the Gospels, the good news of Jesus, what we're shown by his life. Absolutely. But we have to see also that it goes further than that. And this is what we tried to say last week when we looked at John saying to us, John's Gospel, that is, where Jesus says to us, that I have come that you might have what? Life. And have it more abundantly. So that more than just a model example, saying to me, hey, this is how it's done. This is how you live to please your Heavenly Father. This is how it is that you live your life to the praise of God's glory. This is how it is that you respond to people who are against you, who don't like you. This is, this is how God always intended you to live your life. Look at Jesus. And we see how it is, what it is that God always intended for me to be like when he created me and you in his image. But we go further than that. We have to go further than that because without the deposit of that life in you and in me, we have no power to match such a life. Come on now. John chapter 1 and verse 12. He said he came unto his own. And his own who received them, who knows what it says, and to his own that received them, he gave what? He gave what? He gave the right or the power to become what? Children of God. And so the reality is, inasmuch as Jesus was the Son of God, I am a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Now, not everyone can say we're all God's children, but those who have done what? Received him. But the point that I want to make to us is that by Jesus' life, there is within me a life force that says I can match. Oh, it gives me goosebumps. I'm serious. That I can match the kind of life that Jesus lived and that he lived to please his Father. You understand that he doesn't say to you, okay, your life's a mess. Okay, you made all kinds of mistakes. The first thing we got to do here, if you're going to get it right in life, is clean yourself up for heaven's sakes. Go and make right all those mistakes. And as he's talking to us, he's going like this. Heavens, no. Heavens, no. But he says, come to me. I've worked it out. I've made a miracle for you. As when you come to me and you receive me, I deposit in your life a life force whereby you are transformed into a what? If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Oh, Jesus, help us to get this morning. And so, this is the wonder of it all. This is the power of it all. That his life touches me, and I am able to do the same in the sense of I am able to be the same as he is. I forgot to say forgive me. Welcome, Debbie. Welcome home, Debbie Farkin. Bless you. Sorry. And so, I mean, are you feeling this morning? Listen, Jesus lived to die. He lived to die. And when you read the Gospels, you feel that, right? You immediately feel that. That the Gospels are taking us to Calvary. And man, you feel like you're on that journey. So that Jesus lived to die. And listen, that's not unlike any one of us in this room. We're living to die. Right? Some of us are more aware of that than others. You say, well, is that proven? Yeah, if I asked one or two of you to stand up and bend over right now, you'd know where how hard it was for you to get back up, you'd know you're going. You know you're going eventually. We age, and as we age, we know we're moving towards the grave. All of us are. Jesus lived to die. But the thing that's different about it is that there was something in Jesus' death. And we understand that. There was something in his death. Jesus was the Son of God. And coming and dying, he did it on my behalf. So that suffering and death, the worst that life could hand us, says Peterson. And think about it with me for a moment. As we live our lives, it's like, why does there have to be pain? As we live our lives, and even in the most joyous moments, even in those times of our lives where, you know, things are going so well, and then it's like, and that's when we get superstitious about things. Oh, spoke too soon. And life is, throws us a curve in one way or another. And it's filled, it's fraught with suffering and death. Is it not? Is it not? It is. That's the reality of life. And Peterson says the worst that life can hand us is the very stuff out of which salvation is fashioned. The very stuff. Because Jesus met suffering and death head on. And in that salvation, he says to you and he says to me, he says, I know what your life is like. I know what life is like. I know what sin, I know the inversion that sin has created in everyone to turn everything inside out. You know, do you understand the monstrosity of life being turned inside out? The narcissist, right? Narcissus in Greek mythology, his life was turned inside out. He fell in love with himself. He fell in love with the image of who he was. His life being turned inside out, and it ruined his very life. This is what sin does to us. It turns us inside out, and it creates in us monsters. Monsters. And Jesus says, and God says, into that I have come to turn you right side out. Somebody say amen. And so when you look at me, you know what you see? You see a person being turned right side out. And only God can perform such a miracle. Amen. Only he can do it. And he's doing it in Jesus. And so when we look at the plot in the Gospels, the plot is Jesus is going to suffer and die. Next week we'll talk about the capstone of that. He rises from the dead and he ascends to heaven. Come on. But today we're looking at how it is that he died and how it is that I share in that. So now let me just wrap it up. First point to my closing is this. We have to see that it's bigger than we realize. That Jesus dying for me, and how we say it is that Jesus died for me, is bigger than we could ever realize. It's bigger. I refrain from saying it's huge, but it's huge. And it's bigger than what we realize because something happens to me in that Jesus died. Something happens to you in that Jesus died. Even as our text says, I am crucified with Christ. Well, how is it that I share? Let me ask and specifically answer the question, how is it that I, in particular, share in the death of Jesus? You ready? Here's the first one. When Jesus died, he took me with him. I also die. I die. When Jesus died, he took me with him. And in that death, four things happened to me. Four things have already happened to me. Here's the first thing that happens to me. I died to the power of sin. Absolutely. Let me just quickly show you how this works. Before I came to Christ and participated in Christ's death, I rarely thought twice about sinning. I may have had a motivation not to want to sin. I'd go to confession. There'd be some relief, not much. But it wasn't long before I was doing the same thing again. You know, it was like saying to the devil, get behind me and push me right in. And there was no control. There was no sense of this real kind of thing to break the power of sin's hold on my life. The idea from I was in the habit of sinning. You understand? I was in the habit of sinning. I can say before you with a straight face, I am no longer in the habit of sinning. I'm no longer in the habit of sinning. Now, does that mean I no longer sin? Ask my wife if she were here. She would tell you that she is a big sinner yet. And you see, I don't want to sin. I want, there's just something within me now that I feel like this, my life has been habitized by sin, to do bad, to sin. Boy, something in there has just been broken. Where I felt as though where it was like, I'm going with the flow. And you know that dead fish go with the flow, right? And that stinks. And man, and that's how it was in sin. But now I feel like I don't know what it is about the salmon, who put that in the salmon to go what? Upstream. You ever see salmon jump out over waterfalls? It's like, what? Who put that in? Well, we know who put that in them. And I feel the same way now. The current is going to sin, right? Nature is sin. But now, in Christ, I have died to that. The power of that is broken. And now there is something in me. A man just wants to jump away to get through that and not to do it anymore, not to sin. That's the first thing I share. And the second thing is this. I participate I'm a participant in a new world order, which means that the old world order I am dead to. In the old world order is the lifestyle that I used to live with others who lived the same way. We call that the world. And he says, I'm crucified to that. I'm crucified to that. When I first got saved, it's like my friends couldn't believe it. You know, where's Rulowitz? You know, where is he? I no longer hung with them, not because I was trying to clean up my life, but it was because that whole lifestyle, a new world order, had come into my life. That old world order was dead to me. That's the second thing that happens in Christ. That old world order dies in your life. It's put to death in Jesus. Here's the third one. You ready? The third thing is the practices of the dark side die in me. Galatians chapter 5, right? The practices of the dark side die in me. So that where there was, when Sandra and I were first married, and I would get angry. And I can remember her mother saying one time, my mother-in-law, bless her heart, she's in heaven looking down, hi, Irene, God bless you. And it's like, he's Italian. You know, that Italian temper. You know, he's Italian, that Italian temper. And it's like, no, that was the dark side that all of us have in us, going on in us, whether we're more bent to anger or more bent to unkindness. A dark side is in all of us. And he says, we've crucified that. You see, you can call whatever you want. You want to call it a day, you can call it a day, you want to call it a day. But that there he is, crucified on the cross. That when Jesus died, he took that old nature of Bob with him to death, so that the spirit is at liberty in me now to produce kindness where I once was habitized by unkindness. Well, I'm telling you, that's how I share in his death. That's how I share in it. And then here's the last one, okay? Thank you for your patience. Here's the last one. The last thing that I die to is the priority of myself. You know, after me, you come first. And it sounds so good, right, doesn't it? You know, after me, you come first. And it's like, you know, the whole idea of me, myself, and I, see? And though that's my world. See, that's my world, me, myself, and I. It revolves around me, 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 me. It's the song that I'm most familiar with, me, 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 me. And when Jesus died, we see that he says, as Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And the point that he is making there is that this self, this life that revolved around I, has been put to death in Christ. That self no longer is alive. Where now restored in me is this new creation living. This new life living where I have been brought back to the original purpose for which I am alive, and that is to live for Christ and not live for myself. That's God's original intention, you understand? Until we get there, our lives are lived like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Just doesn't fit, doesn't work. come to Christ, new creations, say, oh, this is what, oh, this is what my life is about. The priority of self is put to death, and a new creation is brought to life. Thanks be to God. And so, this is what happens. This is how I share in Christ's death. I share in Christ's death, and then I'm dead to sin. You know, it's like, how much life does a dead person have? Almost sounds algebraic, doesn't it? How much life does a dead person have? And I asked that silly question to, you know, it's like, well, you know, he's laying there dead in the coffin. And it's like, you know, while he was alive, you know, he was just prone to the temptation always of gambling, we'll say. You know, he's there laying in the, and you know, and you walk by, and, you know, you're there, and you start talking to the guy. And you say, hey, who don't we have? Let's see, I don't want to use any names that might give you away. You know, yeah, Bill's not here. Bill. hey, you want to play the numbers this week? You know, Bill, come on, don't you remember? Want to play the numbers? Now, the chances are, what? He's so dead that what's going to happen? He's not able to play. Yeah, nothing happens. And so this is how we have to see it. The power of sin has been broken. The next is my participation in the world. I die to my participation in the world. That whole culture that was my life, that gave me life, I'm dead to it. And I see it all as imitation. See, it's all imitation. It's really not the real thing. It's not. And then the practicing of the dark side. I've been put to death to practicing the dark side. You know? That Jesus is restoring in me by producing the fruit of the Spirit, what it means to live like a Christian. And then the last thing is the priority of self. Jesus, in his death, I share in that no longer is the priority of me, but the priority of God in his life for me. That's a new priority of mine. So I live by a new life principle. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's stand together in his presence. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? Thank you. But it is, isn't it? It's a lot of stuff. It is a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. Whew. Sorry for speaking so quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. Lord God, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name.
I feel that you want me to exhort this body.
Thank you, Jesus.
With the word that
thank you,
just
Lord.
Been said.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, for we are crucified with Christ, nevertheless, we live because of Jesus in us.
Yes. Thank you, God.
I feel that you're doing something unique here, Lord.
Yes.
And I happen to be in the middle of it.
You are doing something,
I pray
God.
That these brothers and sisters of mine,
Jesus,
have ears to hear, as you said to the churches in Revelation.
Jesus,
he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying.
There's
a work that's being done here,
Jesus,
and you are to go along with the ride,
Jesus,
fully participating, which
Jesus.
Means, believe it on me, says the Lord, casting all your care upon me.
We believe
take
it, God.
That ride with me and
Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
You're going to labor in vain, and I don't want that, says the Lord. I want you to labor with joy and thanksgiving. I want you to participate in believing me and trusting me.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'll bring new life at this time of the year.
Ooh, God.
People joy at this time of the year. Mm. Even the pagans participate.
Jesus.
It's a good time for me, says the Lord. Mm. To open up my windows of heaven. To open
Jesus.
Up my revelation spirit.
Jesus.
To bring people into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Be encouraged, my children.
Jesus.
Be encouraged. Stay before me.
Mm.
Stay before me and have an open heart and an open ear.
Mm.
And rejoice in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let's respond to this word. Amen. Let's respond to this word. Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands to respond to the word of the Lord in general in this place. Father, we believe that you are doing something special in all of our lives in this place with us. That we would be to the praise of your glory. That we would be known as a church. You know what? God's there. I felt the presence of God there in that place. Father, may it be so. And these words that we heard this morning, though I spoke them so, pulling the trigger on them so quickly, that the target will have been hit this morning, Lord, by your Spirit in all of our lives. And that I can't get out of my mind that image that Mike Lafferty gave to us last week. Remember how he saw the Lord pouring on us like it were maple syrup, remember? Because of the sweetness of God's presence sticking to us. And Lord, I pray that this morning, that the sweetness of your presence, that we would taste and see that the Lord is good. And so now, Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people as we go off into this week, and we consider all that you have done in your salvation for us, that it would impact our lives as you would have it to, in Christ's name. Amen.